All right, brethren, let's go back here now to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Now, Paul had been called up to the third heaven. He didn't know if it was in body or out of body, but he was caught up into paradise, he says there in verse 4. He's speaking of himself. Caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it's not lawful for a man to utter. And he said in verse 6, I would desire the glory. There was a part of Paul that would want a glory. But he said, I won't be a fool. Something taught him, I'm not going to be a fool. He said, I'll say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be or hears of me. He didn't want them looking at him. He didn't want them following him because he had this grand experience and had this abundant revelation. Now look what he says here in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. The abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says it again, lest I should be exalted above measure. Brethren, what would you do if you had the abundance of revelations that Paul had? What would that do to you? You know, you think about it. You think holding an abundance of revelations like this, surely that would humble me. But if left to myself, if left to ourselves, it will lift us up. It will exalt us. We'll be puffed up in pride. You think about that was Job's problem. That's why the Lord sent a messenger. He permitted the devil to sift him, was pride. Anytime you see the word abundance connected with us, there's going to be a danger of pride. If you take Job and you see a man who was so wealthy in temporal things and family and servants and possessions, and not only that, God spoke of him and said, here's a man that believes God and he hates evil. This man was making sacrifices for his children just in the event they had sinned. You take an abundance of all of that blessing that he had, you know what that'll do to you if God doesn't keep our flesh subdued. That'll make you be exalted in yourself. And we see that in Job. That was what Paul says his danger was here, from the abundance of being with God. But still in the flesh, there was a danger of him being exalted above measure. Apostle Peter, what was his problem? He said, Lord, these all might forsake you. These disciples, they might forsake you. I will not forsake you. And to keep him from going on in that exaltation, the Lord permitted the devil to sift him so that when the Lord came back to him and said, now, Peter, now do you really love me more than these other disciples? Peter said, Lord, you know. Aren't you glad that the Lord knows? Judge nothing before the time till the Lord shall come. He'll bring to light the hidden things of darkness. And he will make it known that his children, he knew the hearts of his children, that he put in his children, and he'll make it known before all that he was your righteousness. He will. Wait on him. You think about Paul, this was his problem. And you can see this. When you read in the scripture, you can see the personality of those men God used. You can see Peter, impetuous. John comes to the tomb, and just he stops and doesn't go in. Peter just right on inside. You see You see their personality. You read Paul's writing, and you see Paul. I mean, Paul. He was a little more inclined to talk about the things he had done. Now the Lord would check him, and he'd say, "Yet not I, but the Lord." But he did talk about some things. If the Lord left him there, higher and higher and higher, exalted. So for that reason, to keep his child from being exalted, have you ever considered trouble and a trial to be a gift? It is. It's a gift. It's a gift. He says there, verse 7, there was given to me. Who gave it? The Lord did. There's given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. That word buffet means to strike with the fist. That wouldn't make you consider something a gift that caused you that much kind of pain. But it was a gift. It was a gift. It was. It was on purpose. It was according to God's purpose. God had taken him up to there, and God just was not going to let his child be exalted. He's not going to let us trust us. That's just not going to happen. He's not. And when we get exalted in any way it is, it doesn't matter. We're trying to run over and self-promote or whatever it is. He's just not going to let it happen. Now, it may go on for a while. Think about David. His problem was pride, too. Here he was walking. The Lord gave him all these blessings, and he finally had built the things he set out to build by the Lord's grace. And then he's walking on a rooftop thinking, now, finally accomplished something. And looked across, and the Lord sent him a thorn. Why? Bring him down. It was on purpose. It was on purpose, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now that thorn Paul was given, it could have been something physical. It was something physical. I don't have a doubt it was something physical. But I don't think it was one thing. I think Paul's telling us what it was. He says in verse 20, look back at chapter 11, verse 24. When the Lord, he's the first cause of everything. If you suffer something like this, it's because it's the Lord's will. When he gives you the thorn, he says, in all things, give thanks. Why? This is the will of the Lord concerning you. It's the will of the Lord for you to thank him, and it's the will of the Lord, whatever he sent you. Thank him. Thank him for the thorn. But when he lets something like this, when the Lord ordains something like this to happen to his child, the Lord's not going to inflict this personally upon his child. He's righteous. He's inflicted all the judgment upon his son in on the cross, and he's not going to personally harm his child, but he'll use his instrument to do it, and that instrument is the devil. That's what he was doing with Job. That's what he was doing with Peter. That's what he was doing here. He couldn't do anything but by permission. The devil can't do anything but what the Lord lets him. But here's some things that the devil was permitted to do to Paul using men. He said in verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. That was being beaten with a whip with bone and everything in it. If you saw the Apostle Paul's back, we're going to see in Galatians, he says, now don't let anybody trouble me anymore. I bear the marks of the Lord in my body. If you saw his back, he had them whip marks all over his back where he had healed up and left those tremendous deep scars. Look at this. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. Well, I thought the devil controls the hurricane. He does, but you remember when he let Job be sifted by the devil? What did the devil do? He sent a storm and blew the house down and killed his children and his servants. The devil can do that. Only by God's permission. But here he was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils on the sea, perils among false brethren. Everywhere he went, everything he did, he said, something was there to buffet me. In weariness and in painfulness, in watchings often. Lord said, watch and pray that you enter not temptation. What do you get weary with? I get weary with this body of sin I'm carrying around. I have much pain because of that, don't you? He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from that? Why did he leave us? Why did he leave you with that? It keeps you humble, don't it? Look at this. In hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness, and besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, that wasn't a thorn to care for the church. He rejoiced to be able to be used of the Lord to care for the churches. What caused him to suffer in his care for the churches? All these other things he suffered made many in the churches say, Paul's not a true apostle. The Lord wouldn't do that to his true servant. Let me tell you what the Lord will do to his true servant. He'll nail him to a cross. That's what he'll do. And are we above our Lord? He'll nail us to it too. But it's just our flesh he's nailing to it so that we don't get exalted. But that caused Paul much pain, much suffering. But rather than blame the second causes, rather than to blame the Jews and the Romans and the heathens and all the different things. Oh, if it had just took a different voyage that day in the ship, we wouldn't have come into that hurricane. He didn't blame the second causes. He said, God gave it to me. God gave it to me. He didn't justify himself for anything. God gave it to me. And he gave it to me as a gift. Now, trials truly are a gift from God. And here's why they're a gift right here. They bring you to his throne of grace. He said in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. That's one reason right there for suffering. Brethren are suffering. You suffer. You know, anything we suffer in this life, you think about this. It's all either directly because of our sinful flesh or somebody else's sinful flesh. In some regard, it's related to our sinful flesh. Think about that. I thought about that a lot. In some regard, our suffering is in regard to our sinful flesh. In our heart, in our new man, we rejoice in the Lord. It's our flesh that causes the suffering. You hurt your body some way. Somebody else hurts your body some way. Somebody disappoints you. You disappoint yourself. Something you had your heart set on gets taken from you. It has to do with these things, all carnal things. But it's a gift to keep us coming to him in spirit. True worship. Come to him and thank him and ask him for help. This is what it's for. He himself has suffered. He suffered. He did that for a reason. He was tempted in all points like as we are. And he suffered. Our Lord Jesus suffered for a reason. This was part of why he was a high priest. So that he is able to succor them that are tempted. So he can comfort you when you're in your trial. He sends it. Satan uses his messenger to just beat you down so that you're not exalted anymore. And you come low on your face to his throne of grace and you ask him for help. What would have happened if he hadn't given that gift to us and brought us down to that place? just go right on. A little higher and a little higher and a little higher and a little higher. And all our grand accomplishments. So it's a gift, isn't it? Brings you to Him. Brings you to Him. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So let us come boldly, welcome, privileged unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But we usually do what Paul did, and here's the lesson. Paul admits here, I came to the throne of grace, but I wasn't asking for grace. I came there saying, Lord, if you'll just take this thing away from me, I'll be all right. That's the pride that's got to be abased, isn't it? If you just took this from me, I could handle it. Mm-mm. So he said, for this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. That's logical. That's reasonable. Lord, if you just take this from me, everything will be fine. The Lord did something better. He didn't take it from him. He didn't take it from him. I didn't get this when I was young in the faith. I'm just starting to barely get a glimpse of why this is such a good thing now. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength's made perfect in weakness. We can't know the sufficiency of God's grace as long as we have strength to help ourselves. We just can't. We can't serve God in our flesh. We just can't. Christ said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. If we're going to know Christ's strength, it's going to be by Him making us know our weakness. If we're going to know that He is our strength, it's going to be by Him making us know we're weakness. It's going to be they go together, don't they? They go together. Now, men don't like to be called weak. No man likes to be called weak. Oh, you're such a weakling. We don't like that. We don't like that. Why don't we like it? Lest I be exalted. We don't like to be abased. We like to be exalted. We don't like to say I'm weak. I don't have any power. Christ said, my grace is sufficient for thee. The only way I'm going to know His strength is to know I don't have any. I don't have any. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I don't have any strength. I was talking to a woman recently. And I talked to her one day, and she was telling me some of the most beautiful, sweet testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and just how He is complete salvation. And the next day I talked to her, lying in the same bed, and she was talking about how I'm getting your mother to go out this door to the freezer and get some food out because my mom and dad are coming over, 83-year-old woman. My mother and daddy are coming over, and I'm cooking supper for the whole family tonight. The day before, she was talking about God and all the rich blessings of Him. The next day, she was laying in the same bed talking about cooking supper for her mom and her daddy's been dead for 30 years. Are we strong? Are we? When He takes away His spirit from you, you're going to be like a puppet without a hand. And if He takes away His saving spirit from us, we will just become so exalted in our self-promotion that we won't listen to anybody. We won't listen to the gospel. We won't we're right and everybody else is wrong. And we're going to do what we're going to do. I will. And that's where you'll go if he does not break that heart and bring us to him. That's where we'll go. That's where we'll go. So, you know, I've heard people say, well, you act like men are computers. Like they just programmed. Well, men by programming computers are trying to act like they're God. Because, yeah, we are like a computer. Totally everything ordained. Difference is nowadays computers can get a little smarter. Without him, we can't do anything. We can't do anything. In that Garden of Gethsemane, I want you to see this now. He said, my strength's made perfect in weakness. You want to know where we're going to see the truth of that? Go to 2 Corinthians 13 right there and look at this. Verse 4. It says there, he was crucified through weakness. Now just think about that for a minute. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he came to his disciples and he said, they were asleep. All they had to do was watch and pray with him. That's all they had to do. You know, we get all excited about praying when somebody, and there's a group and whatever. Here they were in the crucible. This was the time. This was the necessary time. Just pray. That's all you, watch and pray. And this is us, brethren. Fell asleep. And the Lord came and said, the flesh is weak. He's experiencing that. He's in the flesh and he's experiencing firsthand as a man for his people so that he can be our high priest how weak our flesh is. Did he tell the truth when he said the flesh is weak? He did, didn't he? It's weak. But he took this flesh to be made like us in every way. He took this flesh so that he could suffer. That's why he took it. So he could suffer every infirmity we suffer in our flesh that sin causes. Sin's the cause of infirmities. And but he had no sin. But he suffered those infirmities. All the infirmities of the flesh, the weakness of the flesh. He suffered that. And then he took that flesh so he could go to the cross and the whole life from beginning to end, weak, totally dependent upon the Father, totally trusting his power. And he goes to that cross and through weakness, he permits sin to have the dominion over him. He permits death to have the dominion over him. He did all that so he could bear the sin of his people, so that he could, in all of it, experience as a man what we suffer. Look here at Hebrews 5 and look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, who in the days of his flesh, the days of his weakness, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Look at that. Here he is totally dependent upon the power of the Father, praying and supplicating him. There's no doubt that in the garden, I don't think our Lord was praying not to go to the cross. That's why he came. He just said, shall I not drink this cup? What was he asking? Let this cup pass from me. The devil was throwing everything at him he could throw at him right there. The Lord was wanting to get to the cross. He was wanting to go to the cross. And he needed strength to get through where he was right there, right then. Weakness. And here he is, strong crying and tears. Weakness, crying out to him. But he was crying to power unto him that was able to save him from death. And he was heard in that he feared. You don't know a man's heart. Don't try to determine whether another man has fear in his heart. You don't know that. You will throw away the chaff and you'll throw away the wheat and hold on to the chaff. God knows. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. That's good enough for me. But he heard because he had perfect fear in his heart, perfect reverence in his heart, a perfectly submissive heart. We don't always have that. That's why we're having to be smitten. But look at this. He was heard. Now, though he were a son, he is God. He is God. He's the Son of God. Yet learned he, experienced he, obedience, what it's like by the things which he suffered. He experienced it as our head. He was a man like his brethren in the weakness of our flesh to know what it is. He learned by experience what it is to depend entirely upon the Father as a man. And he did it in the weakness of our flesh through weakness by the things which he suffered. And his strength, he said, my strength's made perfect in weakness. You're going to manifest, he said, you're going to see and know, and it's going to be manifest that I am your strength through your weakness. Isn't that what happened on the cross? Look here, verse 9, Hebrews 5, 9. And being made perfect, having perfected obedience for his people, manifesting it perfectly, making it abundantly clear, and accomplishing it for his people, he became the author of eternal salvation. Unto who? Unto them who are so weak that he's their only strength. That's who. So this strength of his obedience was made perfect through weakness. He accomplished our salvation. It is the strength of his justifying blood is seen how? By him in the weakness of our flesh pouring out his blood unto death. That don't look like strength to most people. But when the Spirit of God comes in, you see in that weakness perfect strength. Strength to justify. Strength to make you righteous before God. Strength to make you accepted of God. We see a man in weakness whose breath goes out of him and they lay him in a tomb. And a natural man just says, that's just another man who died and was buried. But in that weakness, he makes you see. He makes it manifest. It's made perfect in your heart. It's made clear in your heart. That was the accomplishment of your victory over death. Because he died the death you deserve. And when he came out, you came out with him. That's what his people are made to see. It's through weakness. Our God doesn't do anything. He said it's not by might or by power. It's by my spirit. He's showing us that these things are all of God. He did that through weakness. That's the gospel. People think the gospel's foolish. They think that what we're doing is foolish. They think, oh, this is just weakness. Those people are just weak. He manifests he's our strength through weakness. And look back now at 2 Corinthians 13:4. Look back there again. He was crucified through weakness, but he lives by the power of God. See that? This is what he's telling Paul. He was telling Paul, my strength, my power is made perfect in your weakness. And we see in our Lord one made perfectly weak who his whole life lived by the power of God his Father. And after he went to the grave, he was raised by the glory of the power of his Father. You see that manifest? And we also are weak in him. We don't have any strength. But we shall live with him by the same power of God exercised towards you. Through this gospel, through these trials, through God speaking to our heart. So we keep us from being exalted and trusting in our strength. He gives us the messenger of Satan to buffet us. He gives us trials and infirmities and afflictions and distresses for Christ's sake. And things impossible to remove. And then he graciously says, I'm not removing them. The loved one that has drawn their last breath and departed, he's not bringing them back to you. Not in this life. Not like he was. It's something we're just going to have to suffer. And that's it. That's how it is with most everything he gives you to suffer. You're not going to be delivered out of this body You're going to have to suffer it. You're not going to be delivered from these tribulations we're going to have to face every day. We're going to have to suffer them. But there's a purpose, isn't it? It's a gift. It's a gift. This is how we're learning. He's our strength, and we're not. We're not. So listen to Paul, verse 9. He says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." We don't enter into this. We can't enter into this. How Paul could say he gloried in painful things. We can't get that. We can't get it. Paul couldn't either at first. Paul couldn't get this at first. He asked for the Lord to remove that which made him suffer. It wasn't until Christ made it manifest to him by the suffering that Paul had no strength in himself. And you just think of this, brethren. Now, Paul had to stand up and preach. And the people to whom he preached, they were 100% convinced, this man don't know God. This man ain't God's prophet. What did we say of Christ? He's smitten of God and afflicted. He's getting what he deserves. You and I, whenever he chastens us and he strikes us, we're getting less than we deserve. As you look at Job's affliction, that was nothing compared to what Christ suffered for us. And whatever we suffer is nothing compared to what Christ suffered for us. But it doesn't take near as much to teach us you don't have strength in yourself. And he's going to do that to keep us looking to him. And Paul, as much as he was troubled by the things that was going on, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't make that word speak to the hearts of those people. And that was a good place to be, because you know what he did? He cried out to God for them like he never had before. He prayed for them. He begged God to bless them. He begged God to give him what to speak. He begged God to forgive. How's we going to be made an intercessor? By being brought to the feet of our intercessor, because we need intercession. How are we going to be made to preach his word and preach it in truth and stop trying to impress people and trying to promote ourselves? We got to be brought to nothing. To nothing. To see that he's the prophet. Everything's got to bring us to see him as everything. You know when we're going to finally get it? When we're going to finally, this ought to show us that it's so in all these trials. We're going to finally get it in that last thorn he gives us, and he's not taking it away. And then we're going to realize, I don't have any strength. When you're arising to him and you look down at that corpse laying there, you're going to finally get it. I never did have any strength. Not in me, but I had all strength in him. And as you enter into him, you're going to realize he really is all my strength. He always has been. I wouldn't be here with him. Yes, that's what Paul's talking about. This is the rejoicing. Nobody wants to suffer. The suffering's not, that's not something that you take pleasure in. But you take pleasure in this, that even while you're in it and while you're going through whatever it is, and you learning your flesh is grass. That's what it means. You're learning in your flesh dwells no good thing. No good thing. You're going to make bad decisions. You're going to do something that's totally dishonoring to God and think that you're going to create unity by it, and it's going to create total division. And you know what God's going to do through that? He's going to show us that we don't have no power. And he'll create unity and make you see, I'm your strength. I'm your strength. And when he does that, brethren, this is Paul's rejoicing. This is what it means right here. Paul wrote to the Philippians. He said, I don't speak in respect of want. He's saying, I don't want anything. I don't need anything right now. And he said, because I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Well, where was he? He said he didn't want anything. He said he didn't need anything. Where was he? He was in prison, waiting execution. And he was content. And the majority of the people he had preached to went on to bigger and better things. He didn't have but a handful of brethren come to him and minister to him. Is that not a beautiful picture of our Redeemer? We're going to suffer to some degree like our Redeemer suffered. And that's how we're going to learn to appreciate and be content with our Redeemer rather than the things that he takes from us. Was Paul a sinner? Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't saying I'm content with my sin. He wasn't saying I'm justifying myself. That wasn't what he was saying. That we don't say that, do we? Problem is, usually we don't see we have sin. So he brings us there. We are exalted thinking what I'm doing is for the better. This is what's right. We have to be made to see he's right. He's right. I'm wrong. He's right. Whatever state I'm in, I have everything I need. I'm not lacking anything. Why? I have him. And you know what eventually happened to Paul? He was executed. He had what he needed. He had what he needed. God's going to teach us. I was about to say, Lord, I hope he'll teach us that. He's going to teach us that. He's going to teach us that. But that's rejoicing, brethren. You don't think that if you see somebody suffering and they seem to be, they just not, you know, weeping and mourning and they seem like he's just too happy about this. Maybe the rejoicing is knowing I see the Lord. He's on his throne. He made me see the purpose. And that's where he's going to bring you all the time. I hope, pray he'll bless it. Thank you.